This is amazing. Okay. And welcome to Food for Thought. I am Dee Dee McGrail.
Hey, Dee Dee. I'm Laura Mangone.
And I'm Vinny V.
Here we are again.
And we are talking about food and life and everything and...
Yeah.
Tamiflu.
No, gosh.
Laura got some Tamiflu.
I had the flu. I'm over it now. Today is my first day of feeling like a human.
So you're like day seven.
I'm day seven.
I think if you didn't get the Tamiflu, it would have been maybe 14 days.
I know, that's what everybody kept saying. You're going to be down for weeks, like plural weeks. But no, I feel...
When you get a bad
flu. I mean, I don't have my complete energy back, but...
But totally just the fact that you can get in your car and come here,
yeah,
you know, because I remember having the flu. Sometimes you just can't even move.
I told Deirdre, I thought it was my, you know, every year, literally like clockwork, I get a sinus infection, which turns into bronchitis, which sometimes includes an ear infection. It's just every single year I get that cold. And that's what it started as, a little scratchy throat. Mm-hmm. The only difference was I literally felt like I got hit by a truck. Like I literally like couldn't sit upright.
I was like
slumping. Yeah. So I went right to the doctor, got some Tamiflu, got a Z-Pak, azithromycin, which I have to remember. I know you're not supposed to take antibiotics all that often, but when I know that I've got, you know, the usual thing happening.
Why did you take the antibiotics, though? If it's the flu, antibiotics.
Because I have sinus infection.
On top of it.
In addition.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
bacteria
antibiotics
and
gonna...
virus.
Wow. Yeah, that's a double whammy.
But in most Latin American countries and islands, they sell azithromycin. Like just in the pharmacy. I had a little bit of a supply, but I went through that supply probably 5 years ago. But when I go back to Guatemala, and I'm going
get
in like
yourself
2 weeks,
over-the-counter antibiotics.
I'm get myself a bottle of azithromycin. It is
well,
there.
You have to be so careful because my ex-husband, Jeff, he took... And I forget what antibiotic it was. He was one of these people that just, anytime he went to the doctor, he went to one of those 80-year-old doctors that
who
said,
just,
every time he goes to the doctor and he has a sniffle, he takes an antibiotic.
No.
He actually got a heart condition.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
of
you
the antibiotics.
Yeah,
that he
you
was
can't
taking.
Take too much of it. You build up a resistance to it, so it just your body won't react anymore to it.
Yeah, you gotta really
no,
be
and
careful.
I'm that's not my go-to, but I do know when I have this.
Whenever
take it
there's
for a few days and it's gone.
Whenever there's something in the head, I remember when my kids were little babies, and you know they're always getting stuff, and sometimes the doctor would go right to the antibiotics.
Right.
I didn't, but if it was in the head, if it was an ear infection or even sinuses, my fear was it's going to go to the brain.
It's what happens is when you get a sinus infection, especially you get the postnasal drip happening, and then when you take an antibiotic, then everything gets released. And generally, what normally happens is it goes into your chest, and then you get bronchitis because that infection is now dripped down into your chest. I always worry because I do a lot of steaming. I mean, I know the doctor says it's the best thing. Like 3 times a day, literally, I pull a chair up to the sink in the bathroom, put a towel over my head, and just sit there for 10 minutes with, you know, steaming, blazing hot water, inhaling it both in my throat and my nose. And it, you know, it moisturizes, the heat
That's
kills
good.
Bacteria.
Very
it's really good.
Good
for you.
Okay.
Except I'm always worried that it's going to go to pneumonia. Because it's
right.
fluid, but that's what a nebulizer is. You're inhaling steam.
Right.
So
how are we now at this point? How are we going to segue into food without
snot?
Everyone throwing up.
We're going to do it. I feel great. I've been eating great. So here's how we can segue.
Okay.
So our friend Joanne has still been staying with us because
right.
her house is under construction. Actually, I think she may be going home in the next few days. Her ServPro people are coming back to unload her pod with the furniture and everything, I think tomorrow or the next day. So she's leaving soon. But while she is there, of course, I have to be the hostess with the mostest, even though I'm, you know, at death's door and I've been sleeping most days away. I've been making dinner. Almost every night.
Of course you have, of course.
Nothing fancy, but...
Really? Yeah. Laura?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, come on. You have the flu.
Well, Mario's also been super helpful. You know, you want me to bring stuff home from the restaurant. You want me to blah, 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 blah. We work it out together.
Okay.
So yesterday they had a photo shoot because we are being listed. Excuse me. I'm talking too much. My throat's getting dry. Mm.
Drink your bouillon.
We're listed on Grubhub now. But in order to be listed on Grubhub, you literally need a photograph of every single menu item, whether it's a side salad or a...
Now, I just saw something on the news. Mm-hmm. It was a piece on Grubhub. Mm-hmm. And how, as a restaurant, you almost can't afford not to be on Grubhub.
I mean,
and
I order from Grubhub.
Do you pay them 20%?
They take a percentage.
They take, is it 20?
I don't know if it's 20. I think
it's worth it, the customer
is paying a little bit higher prices. So it's basically, it's we pay some, they
you
pay
some. They pay some. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was watching
this show. I order
from
Grubhub all the time.
I never, I'm not a big digital person. I mean, I am, but I'm not an app girl. I have apps, but I don't, they're not my go-to.
I totally am, and I have ordered from Grubhub numerous times.
And it gets delivered.
Easily, from any restaurant.
Yeah, but could you get it in, you know, where I live?
Yeah.
Here in Upper Blackadder, PA?
When we're done, I will put it in and see what restaurants come up.
Wow, I want to do it tonight.
I'm telling you, it's awesome. I even just do it from, you know,
but how far
TJ's
people,
pizza place,
how far
you know, to get the Brooklyn pie
from?
That we love.
But you're in Lawrenceville, near Princeton, Lawrenceville. I can't imagine that there's anyone in my neck of the woods that does this.
We will see.
Like, there's no shipped out here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe. But there's Uber, right? Can you get an Uber or a Lyft?
No.
I'm surprised there's not one driver in the area. He's got a whole market to choose from.
No.
Anywho, that's what you should be doing if there isn't one in the area.
Another side hustle.
Yeah.
When I drove for Lyft, I drove everywhere up the mountains and into
everywhere.
Crazy different areas and rest, you know.
So anyway, in order to get on
Grubhub.
Although we might do that too. You need a photograph of absolutely everything on the menu. Now, not a big deal because we change our menu so frequently. We just changed our dinner menu, which so we change our menu specifically the dinner menu 4 times a year. So
do you have a delivery driver already
for catering?
So and we do. This is a brand new.
This is a new person. So Grubhub has their own people that come and do deliveries.
Oh, I didn't understand how it works.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you
they
just
have drivers
you just
for Grubhub,
produce the food.
Just like, and they pick
I don't
it,
know how they afford this.
Pick
how
it up just like you would pick
this?
Up. We can also use our driver if we want. It's a different price point.
Mm-hmm. Oy.
It's like a delivery boy. They, they showed up at the general store right where I live.
Uh-huh.
You know, just came, picked up the sandwiches and...
And off they go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
So anyway, so Mario brought home, so we literally, although we just changed the menu a couple of weeks ago, and we sit down with our staff and we, you know, see all the platings, make changes with sauces. We plan out the new menu changes. So we just literally had like everything on the menu a couple weeks ago. Mario's last night brought home, you know, the chicken dish, the octopus tacos,
octopus tacos?
We do. They're so good.
Damn.
And you know what we have at lunchtime? BLT tacos. Oh my God, they're the best. They're so good.
Wait a minute. BLT tacos?
BLT tacos.
bacon, lettuce, and tomato. So what do? You put the salsa in the...
In the taco.
Salsa.
Sounds like something teenagers would like.
A chipotle mayo. They're really good. They're really good.
Well, can I...
But the octopus ones are delicious.
Okay, octopus for me is not gonna fly at the high school. But I have to...
Yeah, the BLT tacos. So it's bacon, you know, cook off your bacon.
Yeah.
Do your tortillas. Shredded lettuce, tomato. I mean, we put an onion marmalade on it and a chipotle mayo, you know, ours are zipped up a bit. But for you at work...
Well, here's my latest complaint
kids
about
like bacon.
The kids. The right? kids... It's so interesting. So every time I've tried, not every time, but almost every time I've tried to do something a little bit different. And by that, I mean that, you know, I realized that they were almost rejecting everything other than, you know, mac and cheese and quesadillas and burgers and pizza. You know, it was really getting to me. Mm-hmm. But I occasionally try something, and every time I do, I'm disappointed. You know what I did?
What?
Mexican lasagna.
And they didn't like it?
So instead of, the only difference between regular lasagna was that it was corn tortillas instead of the lasagna
pasta.
Noodle. Mm. Ricotta
and
cheese.
And you spiced up the meat lots with of, more.
No, I didn't put any meat in it.
Oh, okay.
Because they tend to, a lot of them tend to not eat meat. Mm-hmm. So I just did lots of cheese, and instead of mozzarella, I did, you know, like the Mexican cheese, right. A little ricotta tomatoes,
right.
And the corn tortillas. They got like six people got it.
Do you have a suggestion box?
Make a fun suggestion thing. Laura, this is the most fickle group I've ever dealt with in my life, and I've had two teenagers. One girl, for example, she's a senior, and she came up to me and she said, you know, in the beginning you had all of these like fun things. And I said, like what? And she said, like Mushu chicken, and you had General So's, and you had smoothies, and you had, and I said, yeah, well,
but nobody eats it.
Nobody got it
except you. You're the one and person.
So she actually made a bit of a stink recently. She said, what happened to all this great stuff? And I said, believe me, Andrea, this has bothered me.
Right.
You know, as a chef, do you really think all I want to do is
hamburgers
nachos and
pizza
and mac and cheese? I said, it's been very disappointing. But they were having a survey going on with faculty and students. So I talked to her the next day, and I said, did you tell them in the survey how you felt? And she said, yeah, and I actually told my whole class to say the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. Then she comes in the next day, and we had something like, it was maybe the Mexican lasagna. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I can't. I'm just a very fussy eater. I said, you know what?
Excuse me.
You're the person,
right,
about the food, but really it's because... You think it sounds sexy, but it's not something you'll actually order. And she's like, well, I don't know if I would say that.
Well,
that's what they're like.
That's what it is.
You can't believe anything they say.
Mm-hmm. I would totally get some sort of a dry erase board and put some menu items on there and put some colored pens. Like I would,
Laura,
do in some way, I would have
lie.
Them give you.
They lie.
All right. Well, but then they can't
no.
complain when you're doing what
I
they've
did,
told
I
you
did
they
a little,
want.
I made a big sign. Like I have no boards or anything. I had to like create it out of paper. And I said, who wants, if you had your choice between, we do breakfast
yeah,
sandwiches with sausage, egg, and cheese, or we do bacon,
this.
Egg, and cheese, or egg and cheese sandwiches. But would you like to see,
cheddar cheese on it,
or a breakfast burrito. So we had breakfast burrito on one side and we had pancakes on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast burrito was going to have to be like $3.50. Mm-hmm. Breakfast sandwiches that they're used to having already is $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
Pancakes were going to be $2.95. So cost is also a factor with teenagers,
right.
Some of them.
Right.
They were all jumping up and down about the pancakes. Everybody was checking. They were like, pancakes, man, I can't believe we're going to have pancakes. I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
Not interested. You made them and they didn't eat them.
No. They want the sausage, egg, and cheese on the little bagel.
God, it's so funny.
So I've learned.
See, that would be
to
the
not
death
believe.
Of me. I would be like, I will be damned if I can't figure these kids out.
And, oh, it is and a challenge.
Yeah.
So another, I know we're going to run out of time in a second. And when we come back, I want to talk about this dinner party that I have to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. But so they were like, all crazy about the pancakes, and then they weren't getting the pancakes. And then what was I thinking? So I've learned not to listen to a word they say.
Okay.
They're liars. And they're crazy. And you have to remember that teenage brain chemistry is similar to those of schizophrenics. Right. So they don't say the truth.
They're not true to their word.
Never, oh, so
they'll say
this,
something and forget it.
I had when they wouldn't eat the regular lasagna, which I had in the freezer for a month and a half, I started to turn it into soup, and I called it pizza noodle.
Right.
So I cut up the lasagna,
mm-hmm.
and you know, small, mm-hmm. and it tomatoes, Parmesan cheese, noodles, ricotta cheese, and they weren't really buying it. Guess what I called it today? Zuppa the pizza.
And
sold out.
Get out. Soap and the pizza?
Zuppa. Oh, as in Zuppa, the Italian.
As in Zuppa.
Oh.
Because it sounded sexy.
Mm-hmm.
They bought it.
Okay. Crazy people. They're crazy.
Sick of these kids.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go
to break. Running out of time. We'll be back.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts with the help of Timeshare Compliance. Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
So I have a remote taping scheduled for us, guys.
Oh, that's right.
I heard.
In Manayunk.
Manayunk, PA.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks from today. Okay. Woohoo! The day before I go to Guatemala, which I discovered after the fact, but it's fine.
Okay.
I don't go till later in the day, so it'll be
so good. For folks, because we are a national show, a lot of people don't know where Manayunk is. Manayunk is a neighborhood of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a suburb, right. Technically. It's a neighborhood of Philly.
Well, it is a suburb, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's if you look up Philly neighborhoods, it's listed.
Right.
So I think it's within the
proper
parameters of Philadelphia. But
it's really cute.
It's cute, but you know, we were looking for
there's
a house
the river
there.
There's that cute little downtown.
It's cute, and there's you know, shops and
lots
bars
of restaurants.
And restaurants, and there's everything, but it's little dinky, skinny roads, cobblestone, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Colonial. A lot of times when you're and a lot of times it's uphill, you know, when you're trying to get up one of these side roads. And very often to get through, you actually have to pull over. You know how, like, there's no real room for
two cars
traffic.
To, yeah.
So you have to kind of pull over. It's a hard, city to navigate, mm-hmm. and in terms of being a neighborhood within Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Downtown Philly is easier to navigate than Mount Young.
Right.
But it's super cool.
Yeah. And it's cute.
And
I think
it's
adorable.
So we might have a show there.
We do, or definitely having a show there.
Definitely
it
having
is
a show
scheduled.
There. Are we doing 3:30 or what are we doing?
3:30.
Okay.
We're going to be there at 3:30?
Correct.
Oh. Okay.
What's the restaurant?
It's called Lucky's. It's like it's like a little bistro.
Okay. Is it right on the main drag?
Fun or? Little menu. Mm-hmm. Right on Main Street.
Cool.
I know. I'm excited.
Well, we know
they're doing some they're doing some renovation. So I had it scheduled for a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and they got in touch and
said, "So are they new?
Can we put it off?" No, they've been there for a while. You'll find out everything.
All right.
We have an hour to sit and talk to them. Mm-hmm. Find out everything.
Okay.
Been back and forth repeatedly with them about, you know, our setup and what we provide and what they provide and how they should feed us. So we can talk about their food.
Little portions. Like we don't
tasting,
need big
like
meals.
A literally, right. I cannot emphasize it enough. I say a taste. We're three people. I mentioned, Vinny, that you're a vegetarian. I said, you know, like literally, if you want to do a few items, but just like literally a mouthful
if you
or
do a burger,
two
like
bites
into four pieces
of each item.
Because we're not going to. So that's
do you remember? Fun. Oh my gosh, how many times have we done local? We've done remotes where people they bring out
everything,
all the
which
food.
Is
do you remember
so
the
nice.
French Town Inn?
Yeah,
all that food.
Yeah, and it's always it's fun for
it's
us.
It's fun,
but when you're taking stuff home, and all I can think about is their food costs and how much it costs them to put out something for free, and I hate it. But so
and we literally take a bite. Or how about the place, remember the place that I love, the Pasta Fajoule?
Yeah.
Off of Route 12, 579. Yes. Can't think of the name of it.
I forget the name, but it's Croton.
Croton.
Old Croton.
Yeah, Old Croton Inn.
And yeah.
It was really good, but they gave us so much food. Mm. Yeah.
Too much food.
Speaking of food. Can I talk to you about this menu that I have? I have a catering job this weekend, and I'm in a desperate situation
mm-hmm.
for a friggin' soccer tort by Saturday.
Oh, easy.
For 16 people.
Nice.
Like, because it's Valentine's Day weekend, I've already been rejected by two bakeries that say we're not taking any more orders.
Oh, come on.
What the heck?
When do you need it?
Saturday. It's Thursday today.
I know. It's not that hard to make.
Oh, but Laura, I'm not a baker, and you need a spring form, and I don't have it.
Oh, you should have told me. I could have made it, brought it, gotten somebody to make it for you at work. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I'll tell you the menu, although it's so boring to me. Here it is.
Why do they want a soccer tort?
What?
Why do they want...
That's what she likes. It's her birthday.
Right.
What, you don't like a soccer? Who doesn't like a good soccer tort?
It's boring. I think it's boring.
Do you know what? Soccer tort, Vinny, is a flourless chocolate cake.
It's Austrian. It's from Austria.
It's from Austria. So that's what they want. So they're having a mini crab cakes with Thai chili sauce, baby lamb chops with balsamic glaze, marinated baby mozzarella on skewers, black pepper tuna, seaweed salad, soy glaze. Main course, herb-crusted tenderloin with wasabi cream. Grilled swordfish with sautéed leeks and tomato with basil. Mm-hmm. Roasted baby potatoes with garlic and herbs. Sautéed asparagus with lemon zest.
You sound so excited while you're reading this.
I'm not.
I can tell. Like, you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Like, I just kind of want to, if I'm going to be doing mac and cheese for the kids, and I'm going to be doing this, I kind of want another outlet where I can maybe
do more
experiment
elevated.
With the more, like, Michelin, like, a little bit elevated.
All right. Well, then you got to start throwing more dinner parties. What can I tell you?
I know. That's the thing. I'm going to have to do them. For my own personal dinner parties, because no one's going to want to pay for the...
Exactly.
Get something off your school menu, maybe.
Or go.
Not going to happen.
Why don't you one day a week pick a day or a couple of hours and go intern somewhere?
I could do that.
Go to the Pheasant, Golden Pheasant.
They're about to reopen.
I know.
I could do that.
I just passed. There's a million people there.
Well, if I were to intern somewhere, I would want to do it. I don't know what these new people, the Golden Pheasant, are going to do. They, you know, so many people think they know food and it's going to be great.
Or go.
I would want to go into Manhattan and someone doing really cool stuff and just say, hey, I'll work for free.
Yeah. That's what you're going to have to do.
I know, but the whole work for free thing kind of blows.
I know, but then these are your choices.
I know.
You want to take your paycheck and go buy all the ingredients and make some fabulous food? Do it. Start a supper club. Invite 8 people. Say, every month I'm doing one dinner with the finest ingredients, the finest menu. I'm charging you $50 a person. Bring your own wine. There you go.
Wait.
What?
Okay, so what is this concept of a supper club?
Usually it's a rotating schedule where you have a group of friends and once a month you go to one of the couple's house or single, you know, you go to someone's home and they prepare a beautiful dinner and then it alternates.
But everybody chips in to pay?
They chip in because you're buying beautiful ingredients and yeah. Pays for
so
the
you're
food.
Getting compensated. So it's like a club where you're getting compensated for the cost of ingredients.
Exactly.
And then everybody gets
in the
to
labor,
enjoy it.
Everybody gets to enjoy it. And then the next month,
else,
you go to someone else's house.
Someone else's house and
yeah,
you pay.
Exactly.
I would love that.
Well, we used to do it a long time ago. It was on a smaller scale, but we used to do it pretty often. And you got to pull out, you know, oh, I haven't made a stuffed breast of veal lately. I'll make that for the supper club. Or I haven't made, you know, escargot and garlic butter. I'll make that for the supper club. So it gives you the opportunity to, you know, pull out some of your stuff, make some of the items that you want to make. And
how do you get the group? Like, you just
friends.
Have so many friends?
Yeah, it was a small group.
I don't have
like 6 couples.
Okay, well, I don't have 6 couples that would be willing to do this.
You have 6 friends.
Yeah, but they don't all cook.
So then maybe on their nights, you go somewhere. You figure it out.
What do you mean, on their...
On their nights, they go out. They get takeout. They get help from someone else.
Oh, so they don't have to cook.
The point is for you to exercise your cooking muscles, right? And be able to make dishes that are interesting to you and others.
All right. I just don't
so
want to do it this
satisfy that. It would I'm not saying this weekend. I'm just saying that's going to figure it out. And that'll satisfy your... Hey, go on Facebook and start a supper club.
I should.
The first 6 people to respond, you know, make it up as you go along.
So speaking of Facebook, I found myself in a bit of a predicament because my client wants the soccer tort, and I did post it on Ladies of Hunterdon County that, you know, this bakery, such and such bakery can't do it, another bakery can't do it.
Right.
And now they're sending me to who knows where they're sending me to? They're sending me, I don't know. Now I have to drive like 45 minutes. You know?
You mean they're suggesting places to go?
One is suggesting she's out of Phillipsburg. I mean, it's going to be an ordeal to get this stupid soccer tort. It's going to be an ordeal. And no, I'm not all of a sudden going to become a baker and get a springform pan and do it myself.
Right.
I can't. I won't. That's what I should say. So, anywho, how much time do we have?
We have time.
Do we really?
Yeah, just started.
Yes.
All right. So,
but But wait, where are they suggesting you go?
Phillipsburg, Somerville.
Well, Phillipsburg, it's not that far for you, is it?
Yeah, but I've got to get busy. Like, it's Thursday night, so... Right. A lot of these places, they need... this is what's really funny to me.
Right.
A couple of the bakeries that I called...
Yes.
For specialty cakes, they need 72 hours notice.
That's pretty generous, actually. I probably would have wanted more back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I would have wanted at least 3 days.
But it's just like a little soccer tour. We're not talking a wedding cake.
I know, but if it's not in your repertoire and you have, you know, the 3 wedding cakes that you're doing and your regular repertoire of, you know, cases and cases of baked goods. And okay. You're now throwing in something that's a specialty item. I mean, I never gave a time frame. I would always say, you know, special orders, just speak to me about a special order, and I would usually try to figure it out. But, you know, three days is a normal leeway if you have a busy place.
All right.
You're
well,
busy doing
up.
Other things.
I hope I can find something because the party's on Saturday and it's Thursday evening. So someone's going to agree to do this, right? What if I called like Wegmans or something like that?
They probably have them in the case.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm calling Wegmans during the break. I'm going to call Wegmans.
I'm sure they probably have them in the case.
Because they probably do it. So now I have to drive to Bridgewater. Oh, my God.
There's one in Princeton.
Yeah, Bridgewater is probably closer to me.
Really?
Yeah. So what did you make for... Didn't you make a bunch of food for an event coming up?
I did, but nothing. We talked about it last week.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, just remember lasagna, eggplant, nothing exciting.
Oh, okay.
Mac and cheese, breakfast items, scones.
Nothing
big batch,
super...
Nothing elegant. Nothing super elegant.
Okay.
You know, homey stuff.
Okay.
My husband's bringing home octopus tacos. What do I need to make anything fancy for?
Tacos.
Unless I have people coming over.
I've never had an
octopus tacos being delivered to my house on a daily basis. I have no need to make anything fancy. No, what is in my repertoire these days, unless it's at work or somebody needs something, it's home cooking. It's comfort food. It's stews, soups, casseroles, putting stuff, cooking various chicken dishes in my crock pot, which is my new favorite thing. I love my crock pot.
You've always loved your crock
pot. I know.
Pot.
I'm sorry.
You're a very crock pot.
I don't understand why people don't absolutely love that thing. Get up in the morning. You throw a couple of ingredients. Yes, granted, I go to ShopRite at 6 a.m. And I have my crock pot full by 6:45. But then you go out for the day. You go about your business. You come home 5 o'clock. It's like the house smells delicious. Dinner's done. Freaking awesome. I love it. I just love it. All right. We're running out of time.
Yes, we are. When we come back, I had something on my mind to talk about. I just can't remember what it is.
Well, first you're going to call Wegmans during the break.
Yes, I'm going to call Wegmans about their friggin' soccer tort.
And we'll be back.
Yes, we will.
Right. We'll be back.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
We're back.
Now, I just have to share something.
We just had a very interesting conversation.
We had a really gnarly conversation during the break because, you know, Laura's still reeling from the flu. And I did not know.
And I told her about what they do when you have a nasal swab, which is
the a nasal swab.
Basically, a flu test is how they test for the flu, is they take a scraping from your nasal cavities.
Way up your nose.
Way up your nose. It's basically like a pap smear for your nose. Yes.
I love that analogy. It's like a pap smear.
Well, that's what
up
it feels like because it's, you know, yeah, it's uncomfortable.
For the guys that don't know,
no, we don't need to get into
unpleasant.
Yes. I was crying.
It's very unpleasant.
I don't cry easily.
I know you don't.
I was crying. Yeah.
Oh
no, it's fine. Hey, if that's the only way they can tell you if
but
you've got the flu,
if they give you that sort of nasal whatever they do, smear, scrape, that's the only way they can tell you if you actually have the flu virus.
Correct. And I had flu A. There's flu A, there's flu B, and there's flu C, which is not pinpointed. It fluctuates.
Well,
so when you get the flu shot, it's for strain A. Mm-hmm. If you get through having strain A and are unable to get rid of it from, you know, medication, rest, blah 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 blah, it can morph into flu B.
Well, you know what's happening with the coronavirus.
Yeah. Yes.
In conjunction with the coronavirus, there's a lot of Lyme's disease.
Lyme's disease.
Is that right? Yeah.
Get it?
No.
Corona. You didn't see that.
You're making fun of all these people.
I'm sorry. That's not funny.
No.
Like, get it? Like, corona with,
yeah.
Like,
all right.
I'm sorry.
I'm thinking, oh, maybe your resistance is down. I'm trying to figure out how it would.
I'm sorry. I saw the meme on Facebook.
Disease.
I thought it was funny. Of course, I don't know anyone with coronavirus, but.
That ship that's quarantined is Yeah,
that's
they keep on Good Morning America. Good Morning America keeps playing videos of the, you know, like people sending videos out that are in quarantine. This one woman this morning was like, "Yep, just every day it gets worse." Yesterday they took my husband away. They took her husband is now in a separate quarantine because he tested positive and she didn't.
Wait, did you
it's
see the
good.
Did
it's
you see the video?
Good. This is like a pandemic we're laughing about.
I can't help it though. But did you see some of the video from China where they have drones now like attacking people that don't have face masks on?
What?
There's like drones over neighborhoods.
And
if
like
you don't have a face mask on, they're like near, like nipping at your head. It's like your freaking.
Oh God! So according to Jennifer Ashton, who's the medical expert on ABC.
Oh, I knew. I've heard of her. Yes.
Yeah, she actually lives in Princeton, and we have catered events for her.
Yes, you have
on a regular basis.
Her
daughter goes to Lawrenceville Prep School across the street from us, so we've hosted private parties in the restaurant for her. She comes
of course
to
you
dinner.
Have.
Anyway, she's my go-to medical expert.
What's her name again?
Jennifer Ashton.
She's CBS?
ABC.
ABC. Okay.
So, according to her, not in China, but here, a face mask is for someone that is sick.
Right.
People that are well should not be using face masks.
Wait, according to who?
Jennifer Ashton.
No, I know, but
the ABC correspondent. She's worked for the CDC for a million years.
In China
expert.
Or
no, here. She's saying that to wear a face mask
right.
in the U.S., you only wear a face mask if you're sick.
Right.
Face
and she's
mask
saying
should
that
not be used by people that are well. And all the people
why?
That, because it doesn't work that way. You're supposed to be keeping your germs into yourself. It's not wearing a face mask. The only thing that that's doing for well people to be using a face mask is depleting the face mask supply for people that are truly sick and need a
shortage
face mask.
Of face masks.
Yes.
What, Laura, they cost like 2 cents each. Come on.
Look it up.
No, I've heard that also.
Yes.
Is there a shortage of latex gloves as well?
Don't be smart ass. I don't know. But she was saying that, you know, people that are well in the U.S. should not be wearing face masks. It's defeating the purpose.
Okay.
It's
well, I'm going to leave my face mask
at
home.
For a sick person.
Yeah, but it's a little different with the surgeons. They have different masks.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about medical professionals. I'm talking about lay people walking around.
But in China, everybody's wearing
radio,
yes, in China. China. Where the virus is now airborne and people are getting it and dropping like flies.
Well, I've listened to the numbers over and over. Initially, it felt like about 20% of people who get it actually die. I think it's more like 5%. So it might be a lot of people die from the flu.
Right.
So, you know, it might not be anything more than that, except for a really bad flu. Like if it goes to 10%, like it's not Ebola.
Don't know.
Well, it's pretty intense. I've got people on the boat, like you said, that can't get off the boat.
Well, they're
That's
quarantined.
Horror,
there's
yeah.
like two-thirds of that ship.
That's intense.
And they don't know how it's being, you know, they don't know if it's being transmitted through the air ducts or the,
whatever,
it's not necessarily person-to-person contact. So it's, until they figure it out, they're doing the prudent thing.
So be careful
All right.
what you eat.
Speaking of prudent thing.
It doesn't have anything to do with eating. Oh, my God. Oh.
So, food, how many minutes do we have? Jesus.
9.
Oh, God.
So, I'm looking forward to eating some yummy food this weekend. Can't really disclose where I'll be, but...
It's a surprise.
And it will be somewhere fun.
And so, you're making some of the food, you will be going out, I would imagine?
I would imagine so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. Oh, I had a horrible restaurant experience.
Oh, do tell.
And of course, when we have these, we do not talk about the restaurant. I'll tell you during the break mm-hmm. or when we end the show. But this is a restaurant that
opened
up.
Lest we ruin them,
right? We don't
with all our listeners.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin them. But it's a restaurant that's actually pretty close to my house.
Hundreds of people that could impact.
Well, a lot of our listeners are in Japan, so they're not going to care.
And where else? Not Newfoundland.
Who
remember
knows?
That remember the island when we got our stats on the national show?
I forget the
listenership?
Island. It wasn't Newfoundland?
No, it's not Newfoundland. It's...
All right, whatever. But we have people that from all over. But
yeah.
So this is local. But so I go into this restaurant that I've been going to since the new owners had it, you know, let's say 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a happy hour. Mm-hmm. Now, you know how I feel about being happy hour shamed.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't like
they don't
going
offer
into
you
a,
the menu.
When they don't, it's like there. A secret. And then when you say, so. I go in with my daughter, Sally, mm-hmm. who is, what is she? She's 18, almost 19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every time I go in with Sally, we sit in the bar area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sit at the bar because she's underage. And as far as I know, with that rule, it is based on the establishment's rules, you know, whether they let a kid underage sit at the bar or not. It's not a statewide thing. Exactly. It's just an establishment thing.
Right.
So we've always, since the new owners have been there, every time we go happy hour with Sally, which is from 4:30 to 6:30, we sit in the bar area.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in. The bartender says to me, I said, could we get the happy hour menu, which I've already been shamed about? Like, and they only offer, get this, for the happy hour wine, they only offer for red wine, for any wine, is Merlot. Like, what if you drink white?
No white?
No white.
It's not very happy hour.
No white.
It's not very happy.
Okay, I only drink red wine with good cheese or steak.
Yeah,
so if I go in for, you know, just a glass of wine. So anyway, that's always bothered me. They've always been kind of secretive about the menu. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I go in and we go to sit at the extended area, ask for the happy hour menu. And this bartender, who I know has waited on us many times, says, oh, the happy hour menu, it's only for people who sit at the bar. And I said, okay, since when? Because, you know, I've been coming in with this kid, you know, since you've been open. And I said, okay, well, can my daughter, who's 18 and a half, sit at the bar? And she said, no. And I said, okay, well, this
So she'll sit over there and I'll sit over here. Like, what?
This is really bothering me because I've been in here at least a half a dozen, if not a dozen times, with my kid and with my boyfriend to have happy hour with my kid, where we get these reduced prices for apps and stuff. And so she reluctantly
walked away.
She reluctantly allowed us to have their shitty happy hour menu, which is like, it's like the worst. I'm sorry.
Why do you keep going back?
I will not ever go back.
Okay.
I decided, even though this place is like right across the bridge from my house, not going back. So we got, you know, and there's only a couple of things that I can even eat, and their nachos are horrible. It's like, and then I can only get Merlot, which, you know, I'm not always in the mood
really
for.
They don't have any white wine.
I know, Laura,
at happy
know
hour?
How much a weasel piss
the Pink Panther's man, playing
how much a weasel piss bottle of white wine costs. They could make money if you charge $5 a glass during happy hour. And
maybe you should bring your own bottle of white wine with you the next time you go.
Well, you know what I did?
If you go again.
After our meal, and it came to like, I forget, it was like $50 or whatever. I went up and I said, I would like the owner's email address. Now, I said that. I actually said the owner's name because I happen to know the owner.
Right.
We're not friends or anything, but we're acquaintances.
Right.
And I said, yeah, you know, I know him. I just want to send him an email. So she gave it to him. And you know what? Look, that night I sent him an email.
You did.
And I said, this is bullshit. You cannot shame people about happy hour. If you're going to start one, don't start restricting it. Don't start saying, oh, now we only have one glass of wine on sale. Now the prices are higher. Now you can only sit here.
But you said specifically the white wine, not one white wine?
Not one white wine on the happy hour.
Did he get back to you?
Nope.
I wonder if he will.
Probably not. It was about a month, 3 to 4 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, no.
So I'm not going back. I don't
it's
like
terrible.
That. I think if they had stuck with it.
How rude not to even respond to you.
I think I might have given him a way out. I might have said, I don't need you to respond.
Oh,
I just need to be
heard.
You know, I might have said something like that. But man, was I pissed.
He should, even if someone says that to me, I'm responding if there's a problem.
Right.
I'm like, responding. That's why you're in business.
I would say, Deirdre, or
I'm so sorry you had this
whatever,
experience.
Dee Dee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dee Dee McGrail, I'm sorry. I'm going to respond anyway. You've been
course.
A loyal customer. You did a radio show here. You know, you're an ally. I appreciate your feedback.
And why the hell are you in business if you're not interested in.
I think they're going to be out.
And what your customers are doing, or I think they're going to improve your customer relations. Like, why? Just go and if go you work in a hardware store somewhere.
But you know,
like,
what?
It's so stupid.
Some of these places now. I've definitely been guilty of, you know, opening up a restaurant and being underfinanced, and I think that's
underfinanced
one of the biggest
reasons to do
why I failed. But when I see it,
it
over
has nothing to do
over.
With where someone can sit, being shamed, and the absurdity of
Laura,
having a red wine on your happy hour list, but not a white wine. That's
Laura,
just ridiculous.
When I think when you're underfinanced with a restaurant, that you start making shitty choices because you don't have the funding.
You don't have a white wine on a menu.
I know.
That's inexcusable.
All right.
I don't care if you're in the hole, bankrupt. The tax collectors are coming and knock on your door.
And if you
have a happy hour menu and you have one wine, you need two. Like, what's the big deal?
It's another bottle of wine. I'm really glad to hear you say that because I thought I was being super judgmental or, you know, a
and for the love of God, respond to your customers. They're the people that are keeping you in business, for God's sake.
Yeah, the happy hour shame. I want it to be done. And I want people who are proud of their happy hour.
Not responding to you is basically saying, fuck you, I don't care about you. Right? What other messages are you supposed to get from that? From him not responding to a customer's concerns. That's just nutso.
Well,
anywho, we are running out of time.
All right, Laura has to get back to sleep.
I have to get back into my pajamas.
All right, so in a week or two,
head home.
Yeah, he's got to drive. Everybody's got
to
drive.
You have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh no!
No, I don't. I have off tomorrow.
Ooh, it's a
long. I have a 4-day weekend, but I have a catering job on Saturday, so I actually do have to do stuff. But it'll be nice. It'll be like half days.
Awesome. Well, we are now really running out of time.
All right, thanks for listening.
Talk to you next week.
Food for thought.